Hello, New York. This is AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Roy G. As always, here with Bruce.
Handsome Roy G at that. Roy's a little bit saddened today. We're not really sure what the deal is, but his dog of 13 years, Nike, may have passed away last night. Roy actually doesn't know right now.
I have no idea.
And I got to tell you, anytime anything happens to an animal you're close to, it's like it happened to your family member.
Well, it was my first dog.
Well, so. You know what? That's really important. So.
And I don't know because he's at my parents' house.
But I got him some Red Bull, and I'm going to be feeding him, and he'll be fine. This is Bruce Hall. Listen, congratulations to Ranger fans. I watched that game. That was a hell of a game. We're going to have Mike Lombardi on later on, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about what it was like to be there with all those sinners from New Jersey.
The Devils going up?
They're from Jersey. But I got to tell you, I watched most of that game. I actually TiVo'd it, and I have Verizon Fios now.
So it's actually
better than
it's
TiVo.
Great.
Because you don't have to have something on to record it. Whereas with TiVo and DVRs or whatever they're called, you tell I'm a very technically sound guy. You have to have the damn show on to record it.
Yeah.
Well, why do I want to do that?
And you can only watch, you can only have, one other thing. You can't, flip around.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, especially when you watch as much sports as we do. Yesterday, Roy, was a big day for you.
Yeah, yesterday was awesome.
Roy was at the Preakness in Baltimore.
There, yeah.
And I actually watched it. I actually announced two high school semifinal games in Northern Virginia yesterday, and I got home at about, 3:30, 4 o'clock, and was watching a lot of baseball, and then I realized, oh, yeah, it's 5:30. I think there's a horse race on.
There might be a horse race
on
today.
So I turned it on, and I actually had already sent some of my hard-earned dollars to Baltimore with a friend of mine, and, I had the exacta for a pretty good number. But so did
you hit, right?
So did half the people stands. It was $18.60. But you know what? Anytime you can make $18, get an $18 return on a $2 investment in, let me see, Roy, a minute and a half. It's not a bad bet. And everybody hit that. I think the triple was hardly anything either. The triple was $46. I mean, it wasn't a lot. I'm going to pull that up when you start talking about the Preakness. But listen, Roy, tell us, what time did your day start in Baltimore, and what did you experience? And we don't have to hear about, all of it, but I want to hear about the fun part.
Yeah.
I want to hear about what the infield was like, because everybody talks about how that's just somebody made the statement this week, a bigwig, somebody big on Twitter. Not like me. I'm small on Twitter. And by the way, you need to follow me at Bruce Hall Sports on Twitter. I don't even ask for retweets. I don't ask for the people that follow me, they will follow me.
Team follow back.
Hey, they will. Yeah, exactly. They'll follow. Well, if I ever did that, I mean, I see how these people get so many people. They beg. But I got to tell you, I want people that want to follow me following me, and they do. And you got to like stand up comedy when you follow me, because I'm going to be doing that. My Twitter hashtag is #poundside. I guess that's what you do. That's the hashtag, I guess. BH Sports. That's #BHSports. Roy, what's yours?
I'm at Sports Man Cave. But we just launched a bunch of different cities on Twitter now. So now you can follow SMC Washington, SMC Baltimore.
You're in New York?
SMC New York. Well, that's SMC _new_York.
That's cool.
And then there's SMC Outdoors, SMC Morgantown. You name it, we got it.
Well, we're going to be in Florida shortly.
It's not actually name it, you got it, because that's it, actually.
We're going out of Fort Myers, Florida here shortly. We probably could have gone out this week, but I never really joined up with my guy down there that's the sales manager down there, because we're still negotiating the deal. But I got to tell you, we're going to be on in all of Florida. We're going to be on in all of Georgia pretty soon. North Carolina should be a piece of cake. I'll try to get us on in Greenville. Big thing, what we're looking for are the Mid-Atlantic states. And once we're on in the Mid-Atlantic states, we really don't need anything else. I'm gonna go into Vegas sometime next year.
So you're telling me that the next SMC I should open up is Miami?
No. You don't want to be in Miami, dude. Only if you do, you know, ESPN Deportes. I mean, if you can speak Espanol, Miami's where you want to be. No, we're going to be on the West Coast. We're going to be up there, where all the spring training complexes are. And maybe next year I'll spend 3 or 4 days down there because, you know, the Mets are there. The Yankees are in Tampa. You know, the Nationals are down there. All the East Coast teams are in Florida, it seems like. Not all of them, but most
Will
of them.
Will Smith is there.
Will Smith lives there now?
Well, he bites his cigars. He doesn't light his cigars. It's
are
for
we
the
talking
look.
About the Will Smith?
Yeah, Mr. Men in Black.
The Fresh Prince
the freshest,
of Bel-Air.
The freshest
you know
of
what?
Princes.
I was at an event the other day, and that song...
There it is.
Miami. That's pretty cool. Now you're making me want to go down there.
See?
Oh, I hate that. Hey, you know what? The Marlins, though. The Marlins are starting to play a little ball, but they're playing a lot better on the road than they are at home.
Maybe it's because everyone in Little Havana hates them.
But you think that it has... You know, maybe it's because they're, like, checking the stands while the ball is in play for people that are, you know, maybe getting ready to fire a weapon at them.
Yeah.
This is Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. It's 10:11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right now.
I dig their new uniforms, though. Those orange.
They look good.
I like them.
You know what? They look like you're in the tropics, man.
I dig it, man.
Well,
I like
too,
their uniforms.
Because I like pineapple. I like oranges. I like grapefruits. I love fruit. You know what?
I just love fruit.
It's just great. Hey, listen, my dogs and I share like 4 bananas every morning. I'm Bruce Hall. I love bananas.
My son is obsessed with bananas.
You know what? My son was too.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, but wait till he's 7 or 8. They stop eating them, and I don't know why. I can't figure out why. Maybe it's the same reason my little Jack Russell doesn't eat them, because she's scared of them or something. They taste funny. If you think about
Jack
it, a banana is kind of a really funky tasting thing hard.
I dig bananas.
I do too. Well, they're full of potassium.
Yeah,
you know what has more potassium per ounce than a banana? Watermelon. And I just found that out this year.
I'm not a big watermelon fan.
Yeah, but I love watermelon. Man.
Everybody loves watermelon.
Feel free to send watermelon anytime you want to my home. I'll give you my address before we leave today. Hey, all right, Roy, explain everything about the Preakness. Go.
So, my day started around 10 a.m., which is late for most people.
It's late for you. What are you talking about?
Late for my friends. I had a group of about 10 guys who came in.
That don't have two-year-olds.
They were there around 8 a.m. And from 8 to noon, they had $2 beers. So as you can imagine, that's why they were there. So I didn't get down until about 10, 10:30. I didn't actually get in the gate until about 11. So I had the luxury of drinking $4 beers.
Now, what time did they start drinking $2 beers? What time could they start
they
drinking?
Well, they got there at the gates open. They got in.
7 a.m.?
There were bars. I believe it was 8. I think it was 8 a.m.
Okay.
And they got there at the gates open. They had a bus trip that was bussing people from the bars to the Preakness, and you paid, and you got the Mug Club. The Mug Club is... You got this, it was like a 20-ounce plastic, you know, handle, had a picture of the Kegasus on there.
Sure.
And it was a free refill. So it was like, I think they paid $100 for like drink all you can drink at the bar, the bus trip over, the ticket to get in the door, and the Mug Club. And I think if you didn't have that, I think it was $20 for the Mug Club, and it was unlimited beer.
That's awesome. The guy that put that together made $30 per head. That worked out well.
Yeah. I mean, and then... It wasn't hard to get a beer regardless. And like I said, it was $4 beers. So, of course, I'm double fisting because you have to make up for the fact that you're drinking $8 beers at any other sporting event.
That's exactly true.
So, it was fun, man. I had a blast. Maroon 5 was there. I got to see Maroon 5.
Now, they're really a pretty good band, aren't they now?
Yeah, they're great. I mean,
aren't they local? Aren't they from Maryland somewhere? I thought they were.
I don't know about that.
Okay.
But Adam Levine is their lead singer, and he's the host on The Voice now, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's
a big show.
I acted like I didn't know who Maroon 5 was. I'm a big Maroon 5 fan, and I acted like I didn't know who they were when I was hanging out.
Were we already intoxicated at this point?
I was hanging out in line to get another beer, and people around me were freaking out. Oh, Maroon 5's on, Maroon 5. I'm like, who's Maroon 5? Who?
You're so
funny. And people were legitimately getting upset at me, you know, being very, you know, being very rude. So I got to see Maroon 5. I got to see Wiz Khalifa. No Will Smith, unfortunately. I did get to see Little Big Town, country band. I don't know if you guys are big into country, but I got to see them too. So it was a blast, man. I had a lot of fun.
You know, evidently there's something happening. I mean, a lot of country singers are playing everywhere now.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a movement.
Let me ask you one more question. This is very important. When was the first race? Was it like 11:30 or 12:30? I think it was 12:30.
The first race I saw was 12. It was a little after 12:30.
Yeah. And you started playing horses immediately?
Yeah, I won my first bet, actually. It was winning or money transfer or something like that.
We'll be right back. We're going to be right back with more stuff from Pimlico, the Preakness in Baltimore, Maryland. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. The city that keeps the roof blazing. Party in the city where the heat is on. All night on the beach till the break of dawn. Welcome to Miami. Bienvenido a Miami. Bouncing in the club where the heat is on. All night on the beach till the break of dawn. I'm going to Miami.
All right, and we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS. Bruce Hall, Second Opinion. I'm Roy G.
I'm sitting here reading the Sun paper. There's like, hell, there's 30 pages on the Preakness. It's unbelievable. You'd probably go online if y'all really are horse racing people. Roy, fill us in a little bit more about. I want to know all about, you know, how many races you bet.
Yeah.
If you got lucky, if you had your heart broken like at the finish line with a win by the nose or a loss by the nose, and let me know how the race itself went.
Well, the more beer that I drank, the worse that my bets got. That is no
it's
question.
It's a nice thing about having
no
a 26-year-old co-host.
But the first horse that I bet on was the 14 horse to win in race 5, and he won. That was Wired Funds.
Wow.
Wired Funds
now,
was the
Now, how did
that
you
I
know that that was...
I got a little tip from a trainer.
There you go. Yeah. Now, let me ask you a question. Did he go off the favorite? Betting favorite?
He was 9-2.
He was probably one of the top three. Did you put...
he was 3-1 when he ran.
Did you put another horse in there with an exacta with him, or just playing straight up?
Mm-mm.
You got to learn how to do that.
Well, I know how to bet exactos and trifectas and
throw those
and shows.
But when you get a tip, listen to what I'm telling you. When you get a tip, you need to part wheel him on top and on the bottom, because that way if he gets second, even though he tried to win, you're still happy. And if he gets first and a long shot comes in second, you're looking at a three-figure exacta.
A long shot did come in second. I believe the three horse is the one who got second, which is ironically called Unlikely Hero. And I'm pretty sure that he got the second. The only horse that I was really paying attention to was Wired Funds. And the reason why I say I think the three horse came in second is because I thought the three horse won. I thought the three horse was my horse and my horse was the gray horse. I actually threw my ticket on the ground. I was actually pretty upset about it. And then come to find out that Wired Funds actually pulled it out. And then I bet a couple other horses here and there. Like, I think I bet on the seventh race for like the seven horse, just because seven's my number, and that's Magical Mary. She didn't win, which was unfortunate. And then I bet the eighth race on just the eighth. You could tell that I was starting to drink more and more. The eighth race, I bet Dixie Dance because I liked the name. I bet Immortal Eyes because I liked the name. My friend bet Broad Rule, which was a 20-1 odd.
Roy.
Because some girl told him
Roy,
to.
Roy, chicks bet on horses who have neat names.
Or people who are standing in line like 12 beers deep. That's also who. Immortal Eyes, though, that's a pretty badass name.
You know what rule number one in Vegas is?
And he was 5-1.
Do you know what rule number one in Vegas is?
I hit that.
Don't drink when you gamble. See, because if you don't drink when you gamble, your chances of winning are almost even.
I'm pretty sure I hit Immortal Eyes because I had Immortal Eyes' show. So I'm pretty sure I hit that.
I'm sitting here looking at at the results. I see them all right here, and I'm trying to find Wired Funds exacta.
Five. That was a five race.
Yeah, I mean, I've got it right here. The Daily Double only paid $11.40, so the exacta, 14-1, $40.40. See, I would have had that. I would have won $400
on
that
second,
race.
Who got second in the race?
It was a horse that went off. It only paid. It only paid $480 to place and $360 to show. He went off about the same as Wire Funds did. And the name of the Coach Fridge. Now I would have played that. I wonder Coach if that's Fridge. Ralph Friedgen's horse.
It probably is.
I'll bet it is. If it's not, I bet it's a friend of his horse.
My
it's got to be. How in the world could you name your horse Coach Fridge unless you really thought he was big?
Joe Rzewski Racing is the people who put me up there back in the stables with them, and he was the one who tipped me off on
Sky
my horse.
Ring. Hey, Sky Ring in the ninth race paid $19.60. That was a big one there.
And he has two horses. Joe Rzewski Racing, they have a horse. They have one who's Flacco, and then they have one T-Sizzle. And
T-Sizzle?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
And I'm pretty sure they have one more that's a Raven name. Obviously, the Ravens fans, his thing's in Pimlico. So.
You know what I loved about the most about the winner? And by the way, I've already picked him to win the Triple Crown. There's a guy here locally who's a big sports guy, Rick Snyder. And Rick used to be a jockey. And you know what? Rick and I are big time Twitter fans. We're big time email fans, text fans. I like what he already sent me a text this morning telling me that that I'll have another at 7 a.m. left for New York. We're watching this horse very carefully.
Just look at that,
because let me tell you something. I'm telling you right now, the Belmont will be this horse on top with at least one big time long shot in there, and the triple will be a big payday. And at these big races, it's not like a regular race. People bet everything to win, place, show. Not a lot of exacta bets, not a lot of trifecta bets, more like every single millionaire's family member. Here, honey, here's $1,000. Go bet it on John Boy to win. And that's what they do. And we appreciate that because it drives the pool way up. And if you're pretty good at picking a first and a second, I like part wheels, Roy. I like putting, four or five horses that have a chance but are going to be long shots. I like them on top and underneath a favorite. If you bet the favorite to win, a lot of time you're not going to win a lot of money. Now, and I say that, and I played an $18 exacta yesterday. You know, so... you get a nickel on one, 5 cents on the other. I mean, I say it's no fun. Like if I go, to
I like to win.
If I go to but if I go to Laurel,
like, dollar on the favorite.
But I don't.
Yes,
like, I don't
winner.
Like. I don't like to win when he goes off 3-5 because he's going to pay $3.20 to win, and then he's going to pay $2.10 to place and $2.20 to show.
See,
I'm Bruce
Hall.
I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We have a caller. I think I know who it is. Go ahead, caller. Hello? Are you there? Evidently not. Hey,
are
you there?
Hey, fellas, good morning. How are you?
Is this the Mike Lombardi? Hey, Mike.
Sure is. How you guys doing?
I'm doing great. We're talking about something that went on in Baltimore today. You're going to be talking here shortly about something that happened in New Jersey yesterday. I actually got to watch a lot of that game because I TiVo'd it. Actually, I did, and I what did I say I have now? Fios. I Fios'd
Same
it.
Thing.
I Fios'd it. But did you have any money on the race, Mike?
Yes, I did. Not too much, but I did bet on Daddy Knows Best to show. I didn't really win anything, no.
So you like Daddy Knows Best. What? Now, you obviously had you're from New York. You had a racing form. You handicapped the race, right? Some girl didn't tell you to bet it because she likes her daddy, did she? I mean,
well, I feel like that's the way we should be picking these things at the time. You have the insider information.
Well, in 3 weeks, I was telling Roy, we're going to try to be up there. In 3 weeks, yeah. I might have to even miss one of my college summer baseball games just to get up there. We may come up and eat at Augie's and see the boys over there and have some fun. And I'm hoping to get with David Wright while I'm up there too, because he's on fire, as everybody knows.
unbelievable.
Well, it's
he shot him with it yesterday, but he's batting .410.
Well, you know what the thing of it is he goes 2-for-5 and he loses ground. But we're going to talk about baseball later on, but we're going to have you on. I want you to just stay on the line. We're going to talk a little bit more about Preakness. So tell me about the race. When did everybody know? I mean, was it a big surprise, Roy, when this horse broke out? It looked like Bodemeister was going to take it, didn't it?
Well, the Bodemeister was out front for the majority of the
race. And he was running good.
Yeah, I mean, he looked great.
He slowed it down at the half-mile pole,
yeah,
too.
He looked like he could have taken it, but, I mean, this horse, I'll have another. Everybody is rooting for this horse. The last time we had a Triple Crown winner was in 1978 with a horse named Affirm. So many of the people, especially in the infield where I was, have never seen a Triple Crown winner. So everyone wanted I'll Have Another. Everybody was rooting for him. Everyone was pulling for him. And they had like TVs around that you could kind of see. But you couldn't really tell what numbers the horses were when they were running. So it was pretty hard to get a look. I mean, some girls had the luxury of sitting on guys' shoulders to have a look, but unfortunately, nobody wants to pick me up. So
wasn't happening yesterday,
so,
huh?
Yeah, so I didn't have who wants to put me up? Shoulders.
Well, you know what? This race featured the top three were three of the top four horses that had the most money on them, and that's why everything was tiny. The exacta was 1860. The trifecta, you know, usually when you hit a trifecta, you're at least looking at some pretty good three figure numbers. $70.80. The superfecta with the fourth place horse, that was the money, $424.30, and that's somebody, you know, that just goes to show you they were now. Listen, Gutierrez, the jockey. Have you heard him interviewed? He's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. He is so modest. He's such a great guy. The thing I like about him is he's wearing purple, which are my colors. And if I had a horse, I'd have purple colors.
See, now you're getting into the thing that you were
That's
just ragging
East
on me about.
Thing, though.
Oh, he's wearing my colors.
Hey, he was
my boy now.
My colors. Listen, for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're going to be right back. We're going to be back with Mike Lombardi, Roy Edwards, and the rest of you listening on AM 1230 WFAS. You can't remember your name because there ain't no one for to give you no pain.
And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS. Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Roy G.
I'm Bruce Hall.
Welcome back, and we got Mikey Lombardi.
Hey, Mike.
On the line with us, my SMC New York blogger.
How about those Rangers, Mike? They're going to win their next one. It's going to be basically over.
That's what I'm hoping for. I mean, I really want to see them get a little bit of a rest before they take on the Kings, which is pretty much all but going to happen at this point. These seven-game series have been tough, so I'm hoping they can wrap this one up pretty quickly, even in Jersey.
Game 5. You know what? I keep looking for the Rangers. I would say late in the game, in the second game, they looked like maybe, you know, that it was taking their toll on them, all the games they played, because they really did seem to let down a little bit. But yesterday, mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, Lundqvist, God, that's why you need a hot goalie, because in the second period, it looked like New Jersey was definitely going to get on the board, didn't it?
Yeah, it sure did. It sure did. He was facing an onslaught.
Yeah, it was tough. And I got to tell you another thing. One of the things I liked the best about that was just the intensity level that they kept throughout the entire game. These two teams don't like each other very much, do they?
They do not like each other at all. And they play a similar style of hockey. which I think contributes to that as well.
Yeah, the thing. Let me ask you this. Now, Lundqvist, late. Of course, you know, they came away. They hit an empty net goal. Their captain did. Late in the game to make it 3-0. But the 2-0 goal was the one, right? I mean, that was the one that sealed the deal.
Absolutely. I mean, with the way that their defense was playing yesterday, there was just no chance. I mean, they really took off at that point. The defense was playing very well, and they just seemed like they weren't going to give it up. Lundqvist was hot. That second goal was a nail in the coffin, so to speak, for that game three.
You know, John Tortorella, a lot of people don't talk that much about the coach because he really doesn't give them much to talk about. He's not the nicest guy in the world, but you know what? He's all business, isn't he?
He sure is. He's installed a type of hockey that the fans respect. I mean, granted, he doesn't give you as much to work with on the media side,
We're used to that around here. We have Mike Shanahan. He doesn't talk to the media, basically.
Yeah, well, as long as you get the results that the fans are looking for, he doesn't have to answer questions that well.
But it looked like they got a second win in the third period. I mean, the parts I saw live, which was when I got back from high school baseball games, the live part of the game I saw, I thought the Rangers looked great in the third period. They just were not letting a puck anywhere on the ice go, you know, without a fight. And that's what you got to do when you're playing defense. That's what the Caps didn't do. Mm-hmm. They let up just for, I swear to God, they let up for 10 seconds, and the Rangers scored to tie that game up in game six. You remember? Mm-hmm. And you can't do that. You just can't do that. I really like what I see with Kreider. God, is he a stud. And
he's amazing.
And Ryan Callahan, to me, he's a really, I mean, you know, He's got the C on his jersey, and he's a great, great player. But the thing I like the most about him is that he gives you a presence of confidence on the defensive side. I mean, I just, you know, right. The guy can do anything to me, and he's been around for a long time. I mean, how do they feel about him up there?
People love him. They love his motor, so to speak, kind of going back to an NFL draft term. The guy just keeps going. He's relentless. He seems like he doesn't get tired. Seven-game series have not affected him. He's the heart of this team. People feed off of his energy. His energy is cobbled throughout the entire team.
You know what's amazing is you can tell the Devils were pissed because their captain wasn't even available for any comments after the game. I mean, how often does that happen? He's going to get fined for that probably. I mean, you got to be ready. I mean, the media's got to be able to ask you questions if you're going to wear the C on your jersey. You know what I'm saying? I mean, can you get away with that in the NHL? Because in the NFL.
I know in the other leagues you're not allowed to do
that. Yeah, you're not allowed to do that. In baseball, if you do that, you're fined and you might be suspended. I mean, if it's the fans that pay to get in. Mm. You know, if they want to ask him a question, they should, in my opinion. Now, listen. There was like about 8 minutes and 44 seconds left when Kowalczyk hit that slap shot on the power play, and Lundqvist came up big on that. I mean, how the hell did he block that shot? I don't even know how he saw it, to be honest with you. What was it like there? I mean, were there plenty of Ranger fans in the building?
There was, despite New Jersey initiatives to kind of keep the Ranger fans out. It's so close, and it's a little bit cheaper than Madison Square Garden. Plus, on a Saturday day game, it's harder to keep people out. I mean, there was obviously mostly Devils fans, but there was a strong Rangers fan base there. And then towards the end, it seemed like possibly it was just Ranger fans because they were the only ones left.
Yeah, well, yeah, is that right? The New Jersey fans pretty much walked out when it was 2-0.
Yeah, well, and then once they put that extra goal in towards the end,
well, you know,
the red shirts were leaving quickly.
Yeah, that parking lot can be a pain in the ass to get out of sometimes. I'll tell you what, though. Now, let me ask you this. In hockey, do they tailgate like crazy like they do in football up there?
Well, you know, not really. At the Devils games, you can, Obviously, at Madison Square Garden, it's more of like a bar atmosphere. People going to the local pubs and things like that beforehand. So it doesn't really go to the extent of football games that just people are just kind of geared up for it a little bit better, unfortunately.
Well, you know, I guess they play, what, tomorrow night, right? They're back in New Jersey tomorrow night. This is going to be the game. I mean, if New Jersey loses this game, it's pretty much over. If the Rangers lose this game, we got a dogfight on our hands, don't we?
I mean, these two teams throughout the regular season battled back and forth. I'm hoping that the Rangers can keep up this type of play that they had in the third game, but I mean, if you look at them through the entire postseason so far, they win game three, lose game four. You know, game three has been a very important game for them to really kind of set the tone and keep the lead. I hope that they can keep this up, but at the same point, I won't be surprised if it goes a lot further.
You know, if you think about it, Mike, they've done it all year. You know, they hit first place running pretty early, and it's really rare in the East. You know, for somebody to dominate like that without it, you know, at least giving up first place for a week or two. They were in first place pretty much since I could remember this year. And I think Tortelli even talked about that. He said, you know, it's really hard to do, and that's one of the reasons that, you know, he says that's his job. His job is to keep the guys focused. His job is to let them not get too high when they're out in front. The thing that I like the most about this, and this is why I don't think New Jersey has a chance, the Caps did a great job of killing penalties in their
series. And blocking shots.
Yeah. I don't see that with New Jersey. Their penalty-killing team, they're not that good, you know? At least they're not playing that good. What do you think, Mike?
I would agree, and definitely when compared to the Rangers. I mean, they on the penalty kill, they were 5-5 the other day, and when you can't score on these power plays and then you can't defend them as well as the other team, it's pretty simple who's going to eventually win the game. Those are just possibly the two most important statistics in hockey.
Hey, listen, Mike, we appreciate you coming on. Let's talk real quick about the other matchup out west, which really is like a mugging to me. You know, the LA Kings look like that they're going to be in the finals.
Coming out of nowhere, too. I mean, these guys.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Like, but they got, you know, the Kings got healthy late. They played pretty good most of the year. Phoenix, to me, always looked a little overrated. I've been to Arizona a lot. I'm buying a house out there this year. You know, I'm gonna be living out there 5 months out of the year. I'm just getting too old for this cold weather. But I got to tell you something. It's going to be nice being able to watch hockey during the wintertime. Do you think that Phoenix has a chance to even win a game out there? What do you think? Have you been watching this at all?
I have, obviously not to the extent that I've been watching the Rangers, but I don't see it happening. And then really kind of focusing in on the Kings, they allowed the second least amount of goals this year. And they are sort of hitting their stride at the right point. I feel if you coach defense well and you play defense well, that seems to be something that you can carry and hold on to the longest. And now they're getting hot offensively as well. So the combination of having possibly the second best defense in the league this year and then now really finding the net and finding the net very often, they're going to be a very, very tough out, that's for sure.
Well, you know, they've got Daryl Sutter out there, and you know, he was a nasty dude anyway. All the brothers are. And, you know, they're a lot like Dale Hunter. What did you think about Dale Hunter saying goodbye so quick? I mean, were people in New York surprised that Dale Hunter basically just said, you know what, I'm going to go back to junior hockey and hang out with a family on the farm and chill out? I thought Hunter did a great job. I have a feeling. Hey, listen, we'll see you. Hey, Mike, thanks so much for coming on board with us this year. And I tell you what, give me a call this week. I'm gonna treat you to dinner at Augie's one night. How's that sound?
Sounds That sounds fantastic.
Hey, when Roy and I come up there, we're going to go to Augie's and just basically bring some cots and live there and eat all that good Italian food up there. I can't thank you enough.
That place has delicious stuff. I love going over there. I'm only about 20 minutes from there where I live.
Hey, go to Large Schmutt. Tell Eddie we sent you, would you please?
You got it.
All right, buddy, and send me to Bill, Mike. Hey, listen, for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. You're listening to Bruce Hall. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. Trees went back. Dell was singing, little runaway. I was blind. Yeah, running down a dream.
And we're back in New York. AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall, Second Opinion. That was Mike Lombardi, my SMC blogger. You can follow him on Twitter at SMC _new_York. As our, he's in charge of my SMC New York blog. So thank you, Mikey, for coming on, buddy.
I like Mike. Mike's a good guy. Mike also knows a lot about sports, and that just makes me love him even more. It's 10:46 on the East Coast right now. I'm getting warmed up, finally. I feel good. We haven't even eaten
Roy, we haven't even eaten our
Danishes yet. And I'd love to say that I got these Danishes somewhere, but I got them at like a really neat place where I go every week. It's a gas station. Hello. You listen to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce
Good
Hall.
Stuff.
I'm talking to Roy Edwards. We're going to be talking baseball here pretty soon. The NHL, you know what? The thing is, it looks like the Rangers year to me. I mean, it looks like the Rangers are going to do it. But the Kings, man. They can skate.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, with the coach they have, they're going to be real tough in the corners, too.
And they play that physical style of hockey that you hear so much about, that playoff hockey.
Right.
Where you think of the teams who are explosive and you look at the President Cup winners. There's a reason why so many of the President Cup winners don't make it to the finals or don't end up winning the Cup. It's because they play a more offensive hockey. We saw it here in Washington with the Capitals. You saw it with Vancouver this year falling to these Kings. And this playoff style of hockey is a grit, you know, block shots, fight, put people on the boards, play a strong defensive hockey, and attack the cage when you need to.
It's like the rules are different, too. Now, we've always known that. When you get to the playoffs, they're going to let you clutch, grab, hold.
Yeah.
They're going to let you maybe, you know, take a little whack at a guy's leg.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they really don't call penalties like they should, but I'm glad they don't.
They let them play.
Now, let me just say this. When the NHL made their major changes because they were worried about the sport.
Yeah, they had that lockout season.
Yeah, well, they were worried because nobody was scoring anymore.
They made the goalie smaller.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I think that was a good idea. And I got to tell you, there's really only been, in my opinion, except for the Messier Ranger team, there's only been, in my opinion, one incredibly talented offensive team. See, like in the NFL, for example, this is what it's going to. Mm-hmm. Look at the New York Giants. Did they have a great defense? No. Was their defense good? Sometimes.
Well,
was it adequate? Yes.
Yeah.
It was perfect for what they needed.
Exactly.
But they had to score points. Green Bay Packers. Did they have a great defense?
No.
They gave up more yardage than any other team in the NFL. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that they scored more times and
exactly,
gave it back
yeah.
to them. But the thing of it is they didn't put a whole lot of emphasis on their defense. They just outscored people. That works for the NFL. It works in hockey, but, you know, people get tired of seeing guys. Well, what did I tell you when we sat next to each other in game two?
It is a different style of defense.
Game three at the Cap Center. I went, these guys aren't playing defense at all.
Well, a lot of that has to do with the rule changes in hockey, with the boarding and open ice hits and stuff like that.
Now, boarding is boarding. You know,
right, well,
that's a cheap shot. But
they've really started to crack down on boarding, and boarding is kind of a new penalty, really, whereas – I mean, we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago with Sidney Crosby. That's what had him out so long, is that boarding against the Washington Capitals on that the Winter Classic in Pittsburgh.
They really cracked down on holding, too. Now, holding, Rod Langway, Scott Stevens, those guys that used to play for the Caps, those big, strong Hall of Fame kind of guys, they used to just grab you and you were done.
Yeah, and you would lay on the puck for penalty kills. Right. And there was all
Dale
kinds
Hunter
of different things.
Dale Hunter would take the puck, turn his foot sideways, get in the corner, and guys would beat on his head.
Yeah.
He wouldn't move.
Now you see
that's the way Suter was, too.
And you still see that to an extent. There's still the little tricks of the game that are really in any sport. You still see the tricks of the game in basketball where, like, if you're guarding a guy off ball, you still see the grabbing of the shorts when you're, you know, when you're down on the post. You still see these little tricks that used to fly.
It's a no harm, no foul kind of.
Exactly.
And I like that because if you don't gain an advantage doing something, I don't even think you should be called for it. Now, what a lot of officials do and a lot of referees do is if they got a problem with a certain guy, if they have a problem with a certain guy, what they'll do is they'll get him back that way.
Yeah.
You know, he'll barely touch a guy and they'll call him for a penalty. And it's like, why'd you do that? He goes, well, why are you bitching at me every 5 seconds? And that's how these kids learn not to bitch every 5 seconds at officials. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion, 10:51 Eastern Time. We're finishing up now with the Rangers. I think that here's the key what I think about the New York Ranger series, Roy. If they lose tomorrow night in New Jersey, I don't like their chances seriously against L.A. because this is a team that is being worked pretty hard. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yes, but we also saw last year the Boston Bruins played seven all the way through the Cup. So it's been done. I would completely agree with you that these too many back-to-back series, you can't do that going into a cup. Exactly. It has to wear you out. But we did see it happen last year with the Boston Bruins team, who plays a similar rough-and-tough kind of style of hockey.
Almost identical, wouldn't you say?
It's very similar style of play.
This is what NHL hockey is becoming successful doing. Defense, and I love it. Defense, you still got to have the guys that fly around the ice and score, no question. But you know what? You can regulate their playing time in the playoffs, just like Dale Hunter did with Alex Ovechkin and the guy that everybody thought was gone, but he's still here. What's it, Semin?
Alexander Semin. Yeah.
This guy, you got a tweet about it. I got a tweet about it. Everybody got news that Semin's agent said he's gone. He's going back to Russia. The next day he went, no, I never said that. That's crap. Of course,
well, him and Alexander Ovechkin are boys, and I think he'll be back. I do. But you see that.
They got it made over
could
here.
Could you see that in basketball, though? Could you see somebody limiting Kobe Bryant's time because they wanted to play a more defensive game? The NHL is a very unique league in that their stars are not on the ice 24/7.
Right.
Whereas you look at the other sports like Eli Manning, he's always going to be on the field on offense.
Oh, absolutely.
Kobe Bryant, he's always going to be on. He's going to play 40 minutes if he has to. You know, you look at these stars in other leagues and they're always there. Whereas you look at hockey, a shift lasts maybe a minute.
Oh, I know.
So
if a minute. You know, I mean, a lot of times, that's the one thing I saw with Ovechkin. When he got his time limited, he started staying out longer.
Mm-hmm.
When he used to fly in and out, he would leave more often, but he'd come back faster.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked that with Ovi. But, you know, their offense just didn't click. And we're talking about the Caps here, and we shouldn't even be talking about it because they're dead right now. You know, right now, we don't even have a coach.
Yeah, the Caps. With Dale Hunter leaving, I mean, it was the press conference right after the loss, and he came out and he said that he was going back home to Canada. So, I mean, whatever, the Caps, that could be a huge blow for the Capitals. Like I said, with Semin possibly not returning, they got a couple contracts. They had Mike Green, I believe, is up for...
a lot of people don't think Mike Green's really giving it all. Of course, Mike Green's had injury issues,
there's going to be a lot of changes in Washington, which could be a big deal for hockey as a whole because... That is a star team. That they have a lot of big names on that team that the NHL likes to promote. Same with the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Penguins going out and Crosby, you know, being banged up, not knowing he's going to come back. It's almost that the NHL has to re-gear here and find new stars to really promote. I mean, you saw those two teams line up against each other in the Winter Classic a couple of years ago, and the ratings went through the roof.
Yeah, they did.
So,
boy, that was a hell of a game too.
But like I said, the hockey has a very unique game where they can play a defensive game. They can play this hard-hitting defensive game because that's what the fans want to see. Yeah, they want to see goals scored, but they also want to see people get knocked around. They want to see blocked shots. They want to see defense. Whereas NBA fans, they want to see dunks. They want to see three-pointers. They want to see high-scoring games. They don't want to see a 87-85 game like unfortunately.
Like we do.
Like the Spurs are starting to play.
But listen, great segue. Let's go right into that. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the NBA because we need to. It's getting good right
it
now
is,
in
yeah.
the NBA playoffs. You got a couple of teams, the Lakers and the Heat, feeling the heat. I mean, the Lakers, I mean, Kobe was one jump shot away from taking them into overtime mm-hmm. yesterday.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you something. I thought it was going to go down. I mean, that was just a typical Kobe slide across 28-footer that rimmed out. But let's talk about San Antonio first.
Mm-hmm.
San Antonio's Spurs were down by 22 points early. They came back and won by 19. What? And they didn't even look like they were worried about it. The Clippers, in my mind, are not – they're imposters.
Neither LA team is moving anywhere.
No. And you know what? What does that tell you about the depth of the NBA right now?
What does it tell you about the youth of the NBA? Because this Spurs team, a lot of people had them – off. They were at the beginning of the year. They're too old. Their stars, they're on their downfall. And now they got these young position players who are really just role players.
This kid Leonard's a stud.
Yeah, and he's
an absolute stud.
And he knows his role. That's the most important part. Is you see the youth teams. You see the youth of the Spurs. Even though their big three are old. There's no doubting that. But their role players are young. Then you look at OKC, who their main guys. They're all 23 right. and younger. Their oldest star, Kendrick Perkins, I believe he's 28 years old.
Well, the Spurs yesterday basically said to the Clippers, "We don't care. You know,
This
is a four quarter game."
Mm-hmm.
We know what we have to do to win, and we're going to do it in the second half. And God, they did. I mean, mm-hmm. they just beat them up. I mean, you know what I like about what this tells me something about this good youth that the Spurs have with their young players. Manu Ginobili's coming off the bench. He had 13 points yesterday off the bench.
Yeah.
Manu Ginobili can play basketball.
That was going to be my next point, was the sixth man in basketball is huge. And you don't hear this very often. You know, you hear people talking about the bench, but a sixth man in basketball is huge, and that's why Miami's struggling. You look at the teams who are up in the series.
They can't afford to pay six, mm-hmm. seven guys the kind of money they do to win a title.
If you look at all of the series, who's winning the series, minus the Philadelphia-Boston series, because that's knotted up, and they both have, you know, decent six men. But if you look at the other three series, the Spurs, like you said, Manu Ginobili is their sixth man, who they're using their sixth man right now. The Clippers' sixth man is Mo Williams or Nick Young.
Spurs. Let me ask you this. The Clippers. Let's talk. The other day, Caron Butler,
mm-hmm.
big press conference.
Yeah.
He acted like he wasn't very happy. He acted like they weren't giving it the effort they needed to. He acted like there was something not good going on there. Let me just read this to you. Yesterday, he had 24 minutes of playing time, 0 for 2 field goals. He didn't even get the ball. He had 0 points. He didn't score. I'd like to know the last time Caron Butler never scored with 24 minutes. How about never?
Yeah.
How about never? Griffin was on fire early. 28 points. He was doing everything. I don't even know if he came out of the game. He played 43 minutes, so he did come out of the game. But, you know, Chris Paul. He's 5 for 17. They shut him down.
Yeah.
Those kids, their defense shut him down.
It's exactly right. I mean, the Spurs play a tough defense. That's what they've always been known for, is their defense. And the Clippers have had a rumor of being soft this NBA playoffs. So we're gonna be back on the other side. We're gonna continue with the NBA a little bit. We're gonna talk about some baseball. We're gonna give Bruce's picks. We'll be back here on AM 1230 WFAS. I know she must be kind. In her eyes, she goes with me to a blossom room. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me excitations. Loving you. And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS. Hey. Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Let that play for 10 seconds. I just want to hear Stevie Nicks' voice one time before I do the rest of the show. I feel much better now. Thank you.
Whenever I think of Stevie Nicks, I think of the South Park episode where they all confuse Stevie Nicks for a goat. There's a goat, and
I'm so glad I don't watch South Park.
They're like, "Is that Stevie Nicks? Stevie, can I have an autograph?" It's a goat.
Stevie Nicks.
So that's I can't take Stevie Nicks seriously anymore. South Park ruins a lot of things for me.
Hey, let's finish up the.
NBA.
NBA, yeah, that's it. NBA. My bad.
We just talked about this.
I got Stevie on the brain a little bit. Listen, Miami, I think's done.
I think they're done too. I think it's funny that you say that because I do. I honestly think they're done. I think that the big thing.
And we picked them.
Yeah, I did.
We picked them. Well, Okie City ain't done.
I think it'll go seven. I think the Miami Heat series will go seven, but I have the Pacers winning that series now, due in part by one thing, and it was what I was talking about before the break: is the sixth man in basketball. You look at the sixth man in all of these series. Which team has the better sixth man is going to win the series. You look at Oklahoma City Thunder. They have James Harden, sixth man of the year. They're obviously going to win this series over the Lakers. You look at the Spurs, like we talked about, Manu Ginobili over a Nick Young for the Clippers. Spurs advance. You look at the Indiana Pacers, and my big X factor is Tyler Hansbrough coming off the bench. This guy is a workhorse. He was a workhorse in college for UNC. He's a workhorse now for Indiana. And then you add in Roy Hibbert, another big man who's a workhorse out of Georgetown, who I got to see play a lot in the Big East going to West Virginia. So... And then you factor in with the Heat not having Chris Bosh, then Tyler Hansbrough and Roy Hibbert really play a role when there's no presence of a Chris Bosh down low. Everyone was playing it off, oh, Chris Bosh, it doesn't matter. He doesn't even really get that many touches, blah, 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 blah. Well, now who's your big man? Who's your big man down low? Who's going to compete with not only a good big man in Roy Hibbert, but a hard-working Roy Hibbert, who runs the floor, who goes after loose balls. I mean, it's starting to play a huge role, and we're actually starting to see it really play in. And then you add in George Hill, who's really starting to come out big for the Indiana Pacers, another hardworking young guy. He was a Spur for a long time, so he understands how to play the game defensively.
Now, was that George Hill that played at Duke, or is he from somewhere else? Because there's been Thomas Hill, Grant Hill. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I thought George Hill. No, you know what? George Hill's from around here, isn't he?
He went to IUPIU,
Indiana University, Pennsylvania. That's mm-hmm. a little bitty school in the hills of Pennsylvania, like Westchester. All those teams up there. There's a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm. He had
tiny little school.
He had scholarships from Temple and Indiana, and he decided to go to IUPUI.
He must be a good kid. Maybe he went. Maybe I hope he didn't go there because his girlfriend went there.
It's not the Pennsylvania. It's not Penn that you're thinking about.
See, no. But things.
It's Indiana University, Purdue University, Annapolis.
Oh, that's a different IUP. Yeah.
It's IUPUI. Wow.
You know what? The only thing I can figure is you must be able to get in there with lots of D's, because why else would you go to that place? Unless it's a coach that you were
chasing.
They
said that he went because he wanted to stay close to his ailing great-grandfather.
Well, you know what? Then that's a great reason to do that. Now, so, listen, I'm looking
character
at,
guy.
I'm looking at Indiana stats yesterday, I mean, for the last game. These guys are just playing their rear ends off. Roy Hibbert, 19 points, 18 rebounds.
I'm telling you, he's a workhorse.
He's a monster.
And you're telling me that Miami doesn't miss Chris Bosh. Is that what you're actually going to tell me, the media? I mean, all the NBA guys. Chris Bosh, come on now. You're not going to miss Chris Bosh.
Chris Bosh is a monster.
Well, do you miss Chris Bosh now that Tyler Hansbrough and Roy Hibbert are doing you dirty on the boards? Do you miss him now? It's like, I mean, come on, guys. I didn't think it was going to be a factor either, because I thought the stars of Miami were too much. But watching the game is a completely different thing. You can sit back and say that you don't miss Chris Bosh, but when you see this young Indiana team run the floor on you, Miami, and they don't even seem like they care.
Well,
that's,
you know,
the biggest thing about Miami right now.
How much money are they making? Come on. You know, I mean, everything else is secondary. They're there for the money. They're there for the quote-unquote ring that they're supposed to get.
Yeah.
They're not getting a ring. They're not going to get past Indiana. Even if they do, they're going to get crushed in the finals.
The big argument there is that LeBron James and Dwayne Wade took pay cuts so they could be together.
Oh,
they took a pay cut from what?
Yeah.
LeBron James was playing in Cleveland. How many endorsements, how many billboards do you see in Cleveland, Ohio?
Right.
And now how many billboards and endorsements do you think he's getting down in Miami? He might have taken a contract pay cut, but he's getting endorsements out the butt.
All right, that's enough about Miami, Indiana. Let's talk about Boston, Philly here, because we got a lot of good baseball to talk about later on. Boston, Philly, I mean, Philadelphia is hanging tough. You know, I like Boston in this series. I really do.
Yeah.
But it's tied 2-2. Anything can happen. Monday night, 7 o'clock, you know. Depending on who wins that ball game, depends on which way this series goes. It's going to go 7. This is a seven-game series.
This is the only series that I'm really torn apart on which team I like in general and which team I think is going to pull away with this, because both teams have stars. I mean, you look at Iguodala with the 76ers, and that kid's a workhorse. He can play anywhere on the floor. And then you look at the Celtics and their big three. You might even want to call him a big four if you add in Rondo, who's really emerged as one of the top point guards.
Rondo's the guy that's making the difference right now. Mm-hmm. Rajon Rondo, in my opinion, this kid is just, he's a superstar. I mean, there's no question about it. He's probably as talented as any 1, 2, or 3 in the league, wouldn't you? And he can probably play all three positions. You know, the thing I like the most about Rondo is I just love the way he gives it up. He would rather, I think, make a pass than to score. And what he does is he takes to the hole all the time. You know, he makes – you're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce Hall talking to Roy G over here, my guy. We're talking about Sixers-Celtics game. I'm picking the Celtics in 7. I like him a lot. I like what Paul Pierce is doing. Paul Pierce was 8-for-13. Scored 24 points their last game. You know, he's not really dishing the ball out, but that's not what he's paid to do. He's paid to make shots, and that's what he does. Kevin Garnett, I don't like Kevin Garnett. I'm not a big fan, but you know what he did the other day? He didn't have his A game. He was 3-for-12 from the field. They were shutting him down. He just said, you know what, that's fine. I'll get a few rebounds. I'll deal out an assist or two. But if we win, we're fine. And that's what he did. You know, they don't need Kevin Garnett to score that much when Rondo has nobody on the floor that can cover him. If you can't check Rondo, you're in trouble.
Yeah, well, it's hard to check Rondo. I mean, he's one of with Chris Paul being down right now and a little banged up, and I know that, well, we've already talked about it a little bit with the Clippers having the reputation of being soft right now through the NBA playoffs.
No, the Clippers are done.
Then Rondo, that's your top point guard.
Right.
That's your top point guard left in the playoffs right now is Rajon Rondo. To me, it is. I mean, you look at Tony Parker, you know, and then Chris Paul. Those are the only two other guys that can really compete with Rondo. So he's my top point guard right now.
And both of those guys are down. I don't see the Clippers even making it to the next level anyway. Let's talk a little bit about our favorite team, Oklahoma City, and Ricky Fowler.
Those are my boys.
Ricky Fowler from the PGA Tour won his first tournament 2 weeks ago. Of course, we were talking about the U.S. Open at Olympic Club. It's going to be in San Francisco this year. I happen to have some friends in San Francisco. So I might go there and watch the Giants play and watch the U.S. Open. That's going to be fun. But I'm going to tell you, Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah.
Are they for real or what? We were talking about this guy that takes three dribbles with the ball and stuffs it.
Yeah, for a neighborhood
Kevin
guy.
Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
In my opinion, if I have a vote in that election, I'm not voting for LeBron for MVP. I'm voting for Kevin Durant
was my MVP too.
Now,
we know that LeBron James got it. But he was my MVP, and I had the privilege of watching a lot of Oklahoma City games this year because, well, the Wizards were terrible, so I didn't really watch much of the Wizards. I watched all Knicks. I watched all OKC this year, so I really enjoyed watching.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about them, and we're going to get to baseball. We're going to get to my picks for the first time in generations, people. The dream of homeownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect homeownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to AM 1230 WFAS. We'll be right back.
I'm my old lady, she don't care. My sister looks cute in her braces and boots. A handful of degrees in her hair.
Just because we
can. And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS. Bruce Hall, Second Opinion. And Bruce, this has been your music kind of day, huh?
Matt, I love you. Matt, you know, I had a talk with Matt about a week or two ago. I said, I got to hear music that I love. And Matt's...
I got to get my dancing shoes on.
I got to tell you something, man. This is pre-1970, too. My generation, 1966, 67. The Who, Pete Townsend.
The Who?
Pete Townsend and the Who. No,
who?
It's shut up.
Who's?
Pete Townsend and the Who. The Who. What? Roger Daltrey. See, he's 26.
Who's on first? What's on second?
You wouldn't even know what good music was if it smacked you in the head. I'm Bruce Hall. I'm talking to Roy G., who actually does like pretty good music because he's a disc jockey and he knows what good music is. He's just messing with me because I'm old and he's young. Thanks for pointing that out. By the way, we're going to talk about one more NBA team, and we're going to baseball. Oklahoma City Thunder, talk to me, Roy. Tell me why they're going to win the NBA title.
Because they're the deepest team left. It's that simple. They're the deepest team left in the NBA. They're young. Like I said, they're top stars.
They're fast.
Their top stars are all 23 and younger with Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook. Kendrick Perkins is 27, 28, so he's still got
legs.
He's
the oldest guy they got.
Serge Ibaka is a beast.
How old is he, the guy that blocks all the shots, 23?
Something like that. I think he's 21, 22.
He's a baby. He's from like Uganda or somewhere. He's really good.
But they're all young. And then you add in sixth man of the year. That is my big thing for this playoffs is who's your big man? Who's your sixth man? Who's your sixth man? Can you run? Can he put in some quality minutes, or is he just another guy to give your star a break? Because James Harden of the Oklahoma City Thunder, sixth man of the year, is a beast. The guy's a beast, and Serge Ibaka is 22.
You know what?
By the way,
he didn't even have a good game last game, and they won.
He doesn't. That's the thing. He doesn't have to go in and put up 20 points.
He was 7-for-8 from the free throw line.
Then that's what you need from a sixth
man.
That's
exactly what he had. 12 points. He had 32 minutes.
Mm-hmm. That's solid.
Russell Westbrook was hurt, and he still played 43 minutes in the game. 15 mm-hmm. for 26. 6-for-7 from the free throw line. He had a +9. I mean, these guys, Durant, when I watch Durant play, I wonder how I never got to see him play when he was in high school. And I lived within a half an hour of where he lived.
Well, I knew about him coming out of high school.
See, he was always playing on these private school teams. And those guys travel. They go to Hawaii. Mm-hmm. They go to the West Coast. They go to, up to New England.
Yeah.
They go to Florida. For, spring break, trips the whole time. I just don't think that anybody thought Kevin Durant, they knew he was going to be good. I don't think anybody thought he was going to be this good.
Well,
I mean,
he was, a lot of people had him, he was kind of one of those guys who had to go to college. He's not old enough to where you could draft him straight out of high school. But a lot of people had him going to the NBA out of high school.
Well, he's like Kobe, only he's 6'10", 6'11".
He's unguardable.
How do you guard a one?
And he's starting
that
to
can shoot. Did you see the shot he made yesterday?
He was in the three-point competition this year.
Did you see the shot yesterday that really sealed the deal for them? It was 34 feet.
Yeah, he's.
You know what? World Peace was looking for the pick. He was backing up, looking for the pick. Nobody was going to pick him. He just went up right in his face, put his belly button in his nose, and put it in the hole. This guy is phenomenal. The Oklahoma City Thunder, in my opinion, they're going to win the NBA title this year. And I don't see any way Miami stays with them if they win. If they win their series, I mean.
Yeah. I don't see Miami. I just don't see. And Miami has all the stars. You know, they have Dwayne Wade and LeBron James, who are two of the best players. They're both top five players in the NBA.
Wade's hurt.
Yeah.
You got to get him. He is hurt.
There's something missing there. He was 0-for-5 in the first half of that game.
He didn't take his meds,
I can tell you that. So there's something. Something's a little off. One of the best players in basketball doesn't go 0-for-5 in the first half. That, you know, just doesn't happen.
Did you see what he did? You know, I know what it is. It's something either in his groin or in his hammy, or his, because he hit the rim five times in a row. Mm-hmm. That means he didn't get off the ground. He was almost shooting a set shot.
Well, it's either something with his legs, it's something lower body, or it's his hand. Maybe it's one of his fingers. Maybe he had a jammed finger or something. He wasn't getting the right rotation, or he's not handling the ball right. Because, I mean, only taking five shots in the first half, that's cause for concern. But not hitting any of them, there's something off with your star, and you need him, especially with a Chris Bosh out right now. You need somebody to really play the backup role for LeBron James, so people don't so they're not doubling him. Whereas that was the key to beating the Cavaliers when LeBron was there, was go take down LeBron and make the rest of the guys beat you. Well, when Dwayne Wade is 0-for-5 in the first half, then you can start, you know, leaning over a little bit, playing a better help side defense with LeBron James when Chris Bosh is out and Dwayne Wade's busted. So that's the Heat series. Now this OKC series, like we've been talking about, the Lakers,
it's over.
The Lakers, it's double Kobe. It's play help side defense on Kobe.
It's over.
Because then, I mean, who else is going to beat you? I mean, Pau Gasol?
Nobody.
We talked about the big men, Kendrick Perkins and Serge Ibaka from the Thunder.
Don't you think it's over? I think the series is over. Hey, all right, let's go to baseball real quick. Let's talk about the New York Mets. I'm excited about the Mets, and I'm going to tell you something. I don't get excited about the Mets that often, but I'm excited about them right now. Kid from Virginia, kid that I met a long time ago. I met David Wright, I think, when he was playing AAU ball for Ron Smith, whose son played college baseball and played with the Texas Rangers and the Mets. He was actually in Brooklyn with the Mets team up there for a year. David Wright, Chesapeake, Virginia. Listen to these stats, Roy. This is sick. Now, you got to remember, David Wright last year, I don't even think he hit 250. I think he hit 248. He was injured almost half the year. He struggled all year long. He heard it from the media every freaking day. And I'm the media. So, and I would have asked questions, but when I know a baseball player is injured, I'm not going to dwell on the fact that he's not being productive.
That's kind of your answer there. What's going on?
Yeah, what's going
injured,
on?
So.
Yeah, I've got a pulled hammy, I got a bad shoulder, and I have a tweaked elbow, but besides that, I'm doing great. Anyway, he's played 36 games this year, 127 official at-bats, scored 28 runs, 52 hits. He's hit 13 doubles, a triple, 4 home runs. He has 22 RBIs. Listen to this. This is the biggest stat. When I look at baseball, and you people that are listening there, especially if you're rotisserie league players or fantasy players, they call them now, you always want to look at walk-strikeout ratio, okay? Anytime the ideal guy has as many walks as strikeouts, that's a great player. David Wright has more walks than strikeouts. Now, David Wright last year punched out all the time. He was swinging for the fences because he couldn't get there. Everybody was asking, how come you're not hitting any home runs? Okay, you want me to try to hit home runs? You don't hit home runs trying to hit home runs. You hit home runs squaring the ball up, and you get a little backspin on the ball, and it flies out of the stadium. He has 27 walks, 21 strikeouts, 4 stolen bases. His average, batting average, and the last time we had a 400 hitter was Ted Williams back in the 50s, okay? Mm-hmm. His batting average is .409 right now. It's almost June, okay? So we can start having this conversation.
Yeah, we can start talking realistically about things.
He's played in a quarter almost of his games already. His on-base average, and this is what I look at as a scout / manager / baseball coach, Roy. Anything above if you're not at 300, and there's a lot of guys in the major leagues that are under 300 on base average, they call it OBP percentage. It's on base average. I call it OBA. If you're under 300, I can't use you. If you're between 300 and 325, you're working on it. If you're between 325 and 350, you're getting better. If you're between 350 and 400, you're pretty damn good. If you're over 400, you are elite, okay? Are you ready for this? His on-base percentage is .510. Let me repeat that. .510. That's sick. Those are NCAA numbers for a first-round draft choice. With a metal bat.
Yeah.
In college, facing college pitching. His slugging percentage, .622. His OPS is over one. It's 1.132. David Wright, you are MVP right now.
He's looking like it.
I don't care that Matt Kemp, and I don't like Matt Kemp anyway, because I know, you know, he had some problems coming out of high school, and I wasn't real happy about when that happened, and I wasn't real happy that the charges got dropped. And, you know, I mean, maybe nothing happened, maybe something did happen in that, and if you don't know about that, I'm not going to talk about it. But Matt Kemp isn't a choir boy. Matt Kemp isn't the kind of guy that's going to do that much for your community, in my opinion. I mean, maybe he is. I don't know. He's a Dodger. It's hard for me to like him. Since they moved from Brooklyn, I hate him. You know, I'm a San Francisco Giant fan anyway, so he can go to hell in a handbasket for all I care. but I got to tell you, David Wright right now is the MVP of the league. Who thought the Mets were going to be playing this well in late May?
Well, the Phillies are down.
Well, yeah,
I just put a couple guys in the DL.
The Phillies are starting to play better, though. They are.
They're getting there.
And they're going to get a couple of guys back soon. I still don't think the Phillies are going to do it this year. I think it's going to be, honestly, the Nats or the Mets.
I see the Braves. I think the Braves
are nice. I don't see the Braves because already I'm seeing their bullpen guys start to blow leads. Listen, they totally abused their bullpen last year. You know, their closer, the lefty, threw in 86 games last year, and I'm surprised he didn't have Tommy John surgery in the offseason. I know he had a bad elbow. I mean, you know, and that's why, you know, they couldn't shut him down. They were in it. They were in it right till the last week. And the last week, he gave up like 8 earned runs in 3 appearances. They got a righty down there that can pitch. Listen, the Braves have great pitchers, but they ruined Jurgens. They ruined his arm, throwing him too much. They should have shut him down last year. They kept him out there. I saw the last game he pitched where he gave up four or less runs, and that was against the Nats, and we beat him. And he wasn't anything after. Let's look at these other guys. How about Daniel Murphy? I was reading an article in the Post, and I'm talking about the New York Post, to hell with the Washington Post. I was reading, and you know, for those of you out there that are giving me a thumbs up now, I love you. Because you know what the Washington Post is, a liberal rag. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it is.
It makes great toilet paper.
This is a sports show, pretty much, but that is the worst newspaper for sports in the history of a major newspaper.
Your boy Mike Wise just
Mike Wise, you know, works for Mike Wise got suspended from the Post for saying something a year ago on his show.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, give me a break. Who are you? I mean, you know, the Washington Post, if there's real news in the Washington Post, it's on page 17. They don't want you to see the real news. They don't want you to see it. But anyway, Daniel Murphy, listen to these stats. .323 average, .368 OBA. I love this kid. 16 runs scored, 12 doubles, 15 RBIs. Listen to his walk strikeout ratio, 12-20. That's .600. That's great. Ruben Tejada is hitting .305. What is he, 20 years old? 21 years old?
He's a young guy.
He doesn't shave. I met him. He doesn't have a hair on his face. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We'll be back in a minute. Talk more baseball, talk more Mets, talk Yankees. Yikes! AM 1230, WFAS.
And we're back here on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion, AM 1230 WFAS. Talking a little bit. I jumble my words sometimes. Get so excited about the next segment. We're going over Bruce's picks.
You know what? I never thought that I'd be this high on the Mets this early in the season, but I really like what I see in the Mets. And listen, whatever they're paying Terry, pay him more.
How about Rob Johnson the other day? You see that?
Yeah.
Rob Johnson, catcher, bailing out the bullpen in a blowout. There were, what was it, like 14-0 or 14-1 or something like that?
Let me tell you something. It's every catcher's dream. It's everybody's dream to get in there and throw an inning. Are you kidding
me? And he still has a zero ERA. How about that?
How about the kid from Baltimore that went in there and got the win in, what, the 17th inning or 16th inning a couple weeks ago? And the kid struck out Adrian Gonzalez of the Boston Red Sox. He struck him out with a changeup. He threw him two fastballs, a lousy curve, a couple more fastballs, and he throws a change, and Adrian waves at it. Adrian Gonzalez is making like $20 million a year, and he struck out off of a second baseman or a third baseman that pitched in high school. I'm Bruce Hall, and I didn't pitch in high school. They made me catch every freaking game because I was the best catcher on the team. And that's what they did in the old days. Nowadays, they take catchers, like my son, turn them into pitchers because they have good arms.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Thole, Thole's supposed to come up, get off the disabled list shortly. He's got a concussion. He got nailed in the head, if you remember, in that collision at home plate. And he was having a good year. He's hitting .284. His OBA, .356. I mean, look at these OBAs. .385, Johnson. .347, Neuenhuis. .356, Thole. Tejada, .362. Murphy, .368. Baxter, he's not even playing that much. .351. His OBA is .419. Everybody, look, when you lead in baseball, and I'm not even – Hojo used to be their batting coach. I'm not even sure who the Mets batting coach is now, and I should know that. But whoever he is, he's doing a good job. But generally speaking, everything that happens around a turtle where you're, taking BP, and if you talk about what needs to be done and you talk about pitchers you're going to face and you talk about the good things that happen and the bad things that happen, which I'm sure David Wright is doing because he's a leader. Kid's always been a leader. And David's setting a great example. And if you've got a guy like that, Albert Pujols did that in St. Louis. I'm not big on Albert Pujols right now, and I wasn't big on him when he was in St. Louis because I don't like St. Louis because they were great. We used to get beat by him all the time. But the thing I liked about Albert Pujols is this is a guy that had an OBA in the 450 range every year. He's a guy that hit 300 to 340 every year. He's a guy that hit 30 home runs every year. He's a guy that walked 150 times every year. In baseball, at any level you're at, and this is where coaches come in, if you're fooled with less than two strikes, you don't swing. Just to try to put a ball in play. You can't do anything in the game of baseball till you touch first base. That's the biggest thing I coach to my hitters. If you hit nothing but singles, you're my best friend, okay? If you walk and hit singles, I love you. I don't care if you're not hitting doubles or home runs. Nobody hits a triple. A triple is just a double that somebody plays into a triple. Or it's just some guy with incredible speed that's hit it somewhere nobody is. But in
or you see a weird bounce off a wall
baseball,
or something.
But in baseball, yeah, exactly. Oh, like in San Francisco. I mean, you hit one out in right center field, they don't even touch it till you're almost in third base. But in baseball, if you don't get to first base, you have zero chance of scoring. So get to first base. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you get hit by a pitch. There's a guy in college. I'm not even sure where he is. I want to say he's at LSU. He's been hit by 52 pitches this year. He is, as long as you don't take any, as long as you don't take any in the noggin, you're okay. As soon as you get one in the noggin nowadays, you're going to sit out a couple of weeks sometimes because, you might have concussion syndrome or whatever they call it. I used to get hit in the head. I'd laugh all the way to first base. Of course, I didn't remember what I did after the game. I'm Bruce Hall. You listen to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Here on AM 1230 WFAS, I'm talking to Roy G, talking to my boy Matt about baseball. We're going to get off of the Mets real quick. Let's talk about the Yankees.
Well, hold on real quick to your
what
point.
What do you want to talk about?
To your point, Dave Hudgens, who is the hitting coach of the Mets, his whole philosophy, this ties into what you were just talking about, is be selective at the plate.
Absolutely.
It was all about pitch selection. That was what he preached all spring training. And it's all about getting on base. That's exactly what you're talking about. Is exactly the way that the Mets, that was their big philosophy at the plate this year.
What a surprise! I'm a hitting coach, but here's the thing that you have to remember. And I'm going to do this real quick. 0-0, you're looking for your pitch. 1-0, you're really looking for your pitch. 2-0, if it's not exactly what you're looking for, where you're looking for it, you take a 2-0 pitch, go 2-1. It doesn't matter. 3-1, same thing. When you foul off the first pitch and you're 0-1, now you're in a one strike situation. You want to get back to even. If the next pitch is a strike and you swing at it and foul it or miss it, now you're in what we call two strike territory. When you're in two strike territory, you crowd the plate. You choke the bat an inch. You stay inside the ball. You stay over the ball, and you try to put the ball in play on the ground hard. Don't pop the ball up. Advance the runners. That's all you do. And really, what punching out is the worst thing you can do. Now, there are certain times that punching out is better, like if you have a pitcher batting in the National League and you got a runner on first base or first and second, or the base is loaded, you almost want him to strike out so you get your leadoff hitter up without a double play
exactly,
being made.
Yeah.
That's the only time you pray for
or
that.
Or you pray that he can bunt him over without popping it up or something.
That's exactly right. Now, listen, let's talk about the Yankees real quick. You know what? We're going to talk about the Yankees for a while, because I know everybody in New York is frustrated about the Yankees. Now, we are heard on the air in Connecticut, you know, Western Connecticut, northern part of New Jersey, and all over New York City, okay? And in parts of New York, obviously, because that's where our offices are, right? That's where the signal comes out of. But when you talk about the New York Yankees, you're talking about a team that everybody expects them to win. Okay, and if you expect everybody, you expect this team to be in the play. When was the last time the Yankees were in the playoffs? A while ago. Okay, it's been a while. I don't even want to say, because it's just going to make people get sick if they're eating right now. But the Yankee stats. All you have to do is look at their statistics, and you'll find out what's wrong with this team right away. Now there's some bigger things wrong with this team. Number one, they got a bunch of old guys playing for them. Now, they're great. They're great players. They're all future Hall of Famers. Derek Jeter, first ballot Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. Derek Jeter is having as good a year as he's ever had right now. Derek Jeter came to camp in shape. Derek Jeter wanted to prove that last year was an anomaly, or whatever the word is, an illusion. And Derek Jeter has scored 24 runs, has 5 bombs already, has walked 13 times, struck out 20 times, stolen 3 bases. He's only been caught once. Derek Jeter is the leadoff hitter for the Yankees. He's not giving anybody reason for him not to lead off. Remember when everybody wanted to talk about Jeter's not really a one hitter anymore?
Yeah.
He's really like a 5 or a 6 or a 7 or an 8. No, he's not. He's your best hitter right now. Brent Gardner's been hurt since the first 2 weeks of the season. You know, Brett Gardner's got an average of 321. His OBA is 424. Guess what? Jeets is 400. What did I say? 400 or better, you're what? Elite. Mm-hmm. He's elite.
He's looking good right now. Yeah. And he's starting to look like the Derek Jeter of old. And you're exactly right. He's starting to silence some critics about the hitting in the one spot.
That's exactly right. Now, look, and this isn't the only, I'm going over offense first. Robinson Cano. He hasn't really – he's played in 40 games. He's got 24 runs scored, 15 doubles. He's a stud. 4 home runs, 16 RBIs. Robinson Cano's walked 13 times and struck out. He's punched out 22 times. You know, with his power, I'll let him get away with 22 strikeouts. 20 is a lot for Jeet, too. But his average is 302. His OBA's acceptable for him at 353. But I got to tell you something. He's a better hitter than that. And – you know, I saw him at the All-Star game last year in the home run hitting contest. Mm-hmm. He has got so much pop. His dad threw to him. His dad threw to a lot of guys.
Yeah.
I mean, his father is a phenomenal baseball player and coach.
Cano, I know you said that it's been a while since they made the postseason. I think you meant it's been a while since they've played in a World Series.
Probably.
Because they played and they were in the postseason last year. You probably don't remember because they were ousted in the first round to the Tigers.
That's why, because it was just a non-event for me.
Mm-hmm. And what reminded me of that is that Cano, he hit a huge grand slam in the first game. And that's what you're talking about right now is Cano. And he looks like their best player on their team right now.
You know what? He is – well, he's – if you said – okay, if you gave anybody first pick – who do you want? You can have one player on that team. Of course, you'd take Robinson Cano for two reasons. Number one, great hitter, great player, great athlete. Number two, he's not that old. Robinson Cano can't be over 30, 31 years old. And I think that his best baseball is right now. Okay, he's also a second baseman. How many second basemen have these kind of power numbers? How about Chase Utley and nobody else. You know, and Chase Utley's has been in a hospital for 3 months. I mean, you know, he's rehabbing an injury.
And he's 29 years old, which is still, it's still young.
Oh, God, 29 is when you start hitting your stride with all of the good food they eat now, mm-hmm. all of the weightlifting they do. You know, he stretches a lot. This kid could play short, third base, center field, left field, right field. He's probably going to be a DH when he's 40 years old and hit 30 home runs.
Yeah.
Now, listen, Eric Chavez, the Yankees have had him for a while. He's an old Oakland A guy. He's decent, but Chavez isn't going to give you what you're looking for, really. He's hitting .288. You know what his OBA is? .304. That's weak. And see, this is the problem. They've got guys like this. Curtis Granderson is hitting .256, but his OBA is .348. His OBA is almost the same as Cano's, so I'm going to give him a pass. He's going to get better this year. But right now, except for hitting 13 bombs, when you have 13 home runs, Roy, do you expect more than 23 RBIs? Of course you do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nobody's on base when Granderson's hitting his home runs. There's nobody hitting. Tex is having problems. He's been injured. He hasn't produced in years. He should have signed with the Baltimore Orioles because they look like the team to beat now in the American League East, the way they're playing. Could you imagine Mark Teixeira playing first base for the Orioles? 30 pounds lighter, because he'd be 30 pounds lighter if he lived in Baltimore.
There's not as much good food in Baltimore as there is in New York.
Hey, for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230. WFES, we'll be right back. Are you a lucky little lady in the city of life? Or did you know the lost angel? City of night, city of night.
Soul coughing. Oh, like coughing. Well, we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Yeah, we sure are.
I'm Roy G.
I'm Bruce Hall, and here's what we're doing now. Listen, I'm going to go over, in 30 seconds, I'm going to tell you what's wrong with their pitching staff. Except for the big lefty that weighs 300 pounds and can dish it out every week. Which he does. CC Sabathia is a monster. His ERA is 3.77. I know he's not happy with that. He's had some location problems occasionally, especially with his fastball. But, you know, if his ERA is between 3 and 4 for the year, he's going to win 15 to 20 games for the Yankees if they ever start hitting like they should. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah, their bats need to wake up.
The other guys suck, except Andy Pettit. Andy Pettit may be the wild card here. He may keep them in the race. I don't know. You know, it just depends on what he's got left. Let's go over the games today now. We're going to talk a little bit. The Reds, this is the series, you know, this is the rubber game in the series. Are the Yankees going to win? CeCe's on the mound. He's facing Johnny Cueto. And Johnny Cueto is the Reds' best pitcher.
Yeah, he's no slouch.
I'm going to tell you something, guys. You're probably going to get the Yankees here minus 160, minus 180 because it's their stud on Sunday at home. I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. I wouldn't bet that with your money. You can do it. You're not going to get a better starting pitcher than Sabathia, though. Mm-hmm. You know, if you like the Yankees, take them. If you don't, pass on the game. That's what I see. Okay? We're also looking here. But of course, we're in our interleague games, which is really cool. Baltimore, Washington, Battle of the Beltways. Guess what? It's already over. It's already over, though. We lost two games. Washington Nationals lost two games to Baltimore last night. We came within a run. We were down 6-0, came back, lost 6-5. The Chen kid that's pitching for Baltimore.
He's a good pitcher.
Started out in Kansas City. He's been everywhere. He was even in Atlanta for a year or two. He's got a 4-0 record with a 2.45 ERA. He's facing Steven Strasburg, who last time he went out like in a thunder rainstorm. There was a lot of
weird
stuff.
Delay.
There was a lot of stuff going on. Supposedly some hot stuff between his legs. I don't even want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. But Strasburg, you know, the thing I love about this kid, he basically said, hey, look, I have to find a way to win when it's like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't. And it was the worst outing I've ever seen him have. I like Washington. getting a win in this series right here. I'm going to the game, by the way. If you want to tweet me at Bruce Hall Sports, tweet me. I'll tweet you back. And I'll give you some inside information about what's going on there. I'm going to tell Buck Showalter he's a midget. I'm just going to say, hey, you're a freaking midget. I don't like Buck. He's an idiot. But he sure is showing Baltimore guys how to win. Miami-Cleveland. Cleveland has surprisingly played pretty well in a division where, you were supposed to have Cleveland and Milwaukee. Milwaukee is done, trust me. Their season's over. They don't have the pitching to win 80 games this year. But the Detroit Tigers will come back. They've got pitching. Their hitters will start hitting. Yeah. They're not hitting
yet. They're athletic.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Derek Lowe is pitching lights out for Cleveland right now. He's 6-1 in Cleveland. The last guy that started out like that was Steve Carlton, okay? Josh Johnson's pitching for Miami. Now, Josh Johnson, up until, when he got hurt his elbow last year, he's coming back from surgery. Josh Johnson is a monster. He's 6'7". He throws 95 to 98 miles an hour. If you have to take anybody here, take Cleveland. I'm passing on the game. Boston, Philadelphia. God, you love it when the two teams you hate are playing each other because you don't care. You hope nobody wins. I hope this ends up a tie. I hope they go 24 innings and they have to play it off. Beckett, our beer-drinking guy who gives such great interviews and great press conferences. He is a mess. He's 3-4 with almost a 5 ERA. Cliff Lee's pitching for Philly. I've already released this on my toll-free number. Philly is going to win this game. Beckett's going to go down like the Titanic. Pittsburgh, Detroit. Pittsburgh, Korea's pitching for them. He's a pretty decent starter. Scherzer has been up and down for Detroit. They're in Detroit. He's got a 6.26 ERA. Wouldn't surprise me if Pittsburgh won this game. They're a big underdog. If you're going to play the game, take the Pirates. Don't take Detroit. I'm passing on the game. It's too ugly for me. Texas, Houston. You got Colby Lewis pitching for the Texas Rangers. You got this kid Lyles, who just started pitching for Houston. I'm going to pass on this game. I watch out for Texas, though. It's a Sunday afternoon game. Josh really likes to play on Sunday, even though it's the Sabbath. And, he's a little torn about it. But when he plays, he plays. The New York Mets, yay, are playing Toronto. Now, let me tell you something. The Toronto Blue Jays, right now, if I lived in Vegas, Roy, and I'm being serious, I would put whatever the number is, I'd bet $1,000 on Toronto to win the AFC, the American League East. And the reason I do that is they're as good as anybody. They're playing lights out. They're scoring runs. I don't like Alvarez. I do like G, but I don't like him on the road. Pass on this game. Don't bet on the Mets, guys, just because you love the Mets. Minnesota's at Milwaukee. Minnesota beat Milwaukee in Milwaukee. Guess who's pitching? Your buddy, Jason Marquis.
Yeah.
For Minnesota. You know what his ERA is? God, Rizzo's so smart to let him go.
Eight runs.
6.68 ERA. Guess who's pitching? Greinke. That's minus 240. Take it anyway. Take Milwaukee to win this game. Atlanta is at Tampa Bay. Now, Atlanta is as good on the road as they are at home. Timmy Hudson. Auburn, War Eagle pitching for Atlanta against David Price.
Roll damn tide.
Hey, David Price tweets more than I do. David Price.
He said War Eagle. He said War, roll damn tide.
Not a hell with a tide. David, except in football, I love to bet him in football because they run up the score, baby. Tim Hudson, this could go either way. I'm taking Tampa because the game's indoors and it's beautiful outside. They're the only team that probably won't want to be outside. Chicago White Sox are at the Cubs. Jake Peavy, my buddy, my old buddy from San Diego, 4-1, 2.65 ERA against a guy named Mahome who pitched in Pittsburgh for a few years, did a good job. He's 4-2, pass, because the last time I played Jake, I lost, okay? And I'm not sure if Jake's really over that back surgery he had. Miley and Adcock, Arizona, Kansas City. I made the mistake of liking Arizona yesterday. I wouldn't touch this with a 10-foot pole, this game. This game has marks all over it where people have been touching it with 10-foot poles.
Skid marks at that, both teams.
Seattle, Colorado. Two of the biggest lug teams there are, pass. Both Pitchers suck. Old Oriole there, Guthrie. He was actually in the All-Star game 3 or 4 years ago.
Jeremy Guthrie. Yeah, they traded him away, and they're looking really smart on doing that.
Well, they're looking really smart on everything. Yeah. They traded away their general manager, too. That's looking real smart. The Angels in San Diego. If there are two worst teams in baseball right now, point them out to me. Irvin Santana, 2-6 with a 4.38 ERA. Did he sign up for this when the season started? I don't think so. You know, San Diego won yesterday. I'm pulling for him today, but I'm passing on the game. That's up to you if you want to do it or not. Oakland, San Francisco. Timmy Lincecum, 5.77 ERAs, 2-3 against Bartolo Colon, who, by the way, has pitched great this year, even though he looks like Jabba the freaking Hutt. Have you seen him? He's fatter than anything I've ever seen. And he's winning. Well, he's 3-4 for the A's. That's a winning record. His ERA is 4.13. If San Francisco wins, they sweep this Bay Series. I'm passing on the game. I don't want to jinx Timmy. I love Timmy. St. Louis at the Dodgers. Billingsley has sucked very recently. I'm taking St. Louis in this game. And guess what? I'm getting odds. They're plus 120. Take the Cardinals. I hate the Cardinals, but I hate the Dodgers worse. And Matt Kemp is not back. Matt Kemp may be hit the 15-day DL. He may have torn that hamstring is what I'm hearing.
Ouch.
All right, so that's my picks for today. Let me go over them real quick again. I like St. Louis. I like Tampa Bay. I like Milwaukee. We're running out of teams. I like Philadelphia, and I do like Strasburg and Washington, and that's it. That's really not a lot. That's 5 games. If you go 3-2, beat smile. If you go 4-1, go get something to eat. If you go 5-0, give me a tweet at Bruce Hall Sports. Roy, anything bothering you right now about any of these games? Who are your picks? Give them to me.
Well, I like Washington.
Yay! Homer.
I like the Yankees. I do like the Yankees.
You know,
I like the Yankees.
I like it every time Sabathia puts the ball in his hand.
That's the only reason.
Well, they need to win.
Yeah, it's a swing game. The winner of that takes a series. The Yankees at home are not.
And Joey Votto's left-handed. Mm-hmm. And Joey Votto owns righties. Mm-hmm. And he don't own no lefties. And this is a big lefty.
I like the Yankees.
So you're taking the Yankees. Well, you might have just talked me into him. But, you know, that's just I'm stupid. Keep going.
Other than that, I mean,
you
said Tampa Bay. I don't know.
I like
Hudson.
David Price is starting to pitch, though.
Yeah,
I like
know.
Timmy. You know what? I like Timmy Hudson on grass because he's a you know, he was a shortstop, too.
Mm-hmm.
He played short and pitched at Auburn.
I like the Rangers. I like Hamilton going off against a first-time pitcher for the
Texas
season.
Texas has taken a week off, have you noticed? Mm-hmm. He sat all of his guys down because they were playing lights out. And, you know, he could see they were tiring. And I got to give it to him. He sat him down. It's not like anybody's going to challenge him in that division anyway.
Yeah, and I like Peavy. I like Peavy against, the Cubs.
Jake.
The Cubs are terrible.
Where is that? Is that in...
It's in Chicago.
I wonder,
the Cubs.
You know, a lot
it's at Wrigley.
You know,
it's in Chicago. What do you mean? It's at Wrigley.
Oh, that's right. Well, I keep thinking Jake's in San Diego. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. I still got him in a Padre uniform.
Yeah.
You know what? The thing about that game that's going to matter is... You know who's hitting the ball? Your boy, Adam Dunn.
Yeah,
he
I wouldn't call him a boy,
hit a freaking ball. Looked like he hit it 500 feet.
He's starting to not suck, I guess.
Do you know what his OBA is like 350. He's kind of back. He's kind of. He took a year off.
He took a couple years off.
Well, he took one off for sure. He hit 156 last year. Mm-hmm. How do you hit 156?
He was okay
and not
in Washington.
Be on suicide.
He was
watch.
Okay in Washington. He was not.
He hit 30 home runs every year.
Yeah, but he didn't have many RBIs.
We weren't that good. We didn't have many guys on base.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Hey, Colorado, they're done. Seattle's done. There's very few people, Roy, at this point. Right now. You know, anybody in the American League East is still up for grabs. Wouldn't
absolutely.
You agree?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
American League Central, I think it's going to be probably Detroit. They'll end up getting back in it somehow.
Yeah, we both like Detroit out of there.
In the West, I love Texas.
Oh, yeah.
That's over as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah.
National League East. I'm pulling for, you know, the Nats have too many injuries. I don't know if they can win enough games.
I have Braves, Nationals, Phillies in that order.
Yeah, you know, and you're probably right. And listen, I'm not giving up on the Mets. I think the Mets have a chance because I think they have good enough pitching. The National League Central, what do you think?
Well, I know that the Cubs are out.
Yeah, they are.
I can tell you that.
I'm not going to pick anybody in the Central. That's up for grabs. Well, we're out of here, Roy. It's been a great day. We had a good show tonight.
Yeah, great show.
Hey, listen. Hey, be safe out there. You're going to be driving to an event. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We'll be back next week on AM 1230 WFAS.